The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast. Dr. Taz.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the Dr. Taz Show, and today we are joined by Natalie Botros. Natalie is known as the Bon Vivant Girl. I don't speak French, so you guys are going to catch me mispronouncing this. I know it. But Natalie is a certified health coach and a psychotherapist who teaches women how to lose weight and feel great without sacrificing their appetite and their love for life. She's a world traveler with a big appetite for food and experiences. She's born in Lebanon, raised in Turkey, and studied in Switzerland, played and worked in Italy before eventually landing in the United States. Welcome to the show, Natalie.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled, and you're quite the world traveler. So I know we want to hear about your world adventures, but most importantly, I think we want to know how you got the title of the Bon Vivant Girl, and what does that mean?
Well, bon vivant in French means well-living. And I used to be only the party girl who was traveling, the traveler, the socialite. And then I said, and it kind of impacted my weight and my health. And I said, you know what? I have to find a way to make it happen and to make it healthier. So bon vivant girl is someone who lives well, who can lose weight without cutting the socializing, traveling. It's like what we all dream about, basically.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. And I know that, you know, many of the patients that I see in practice, for example, do travel, but travel is seen as a period of time when we go off our diet or when we go engage in behaviors we may not have engaged in otherwise. You know, how do you manage being the world traveler that you are and navigating the world of food and health and weight and all this other stuff that we as women always are obsessing about?
Well, I mean, you know, the first thing that I should say, I don't like the word diet, because like the minute that we say we're on a diet, we right away think restriction, and we want to eat that food that we're not supposed to. So I prefer to call it a lifestyle. And in the Bon Vivant Girl, lifestyle is, first of all, you have to work on your primary food. And your primary food is not what you have on your plate. It's what you have in your life, your relationships, career, physical activity. Once that you work on that, you can start working on what you have on your plate, which is the secondary food. And to be able to work on... Yeah.
I love that, though. Let's stop for just a second, because I love that idea and that visual. So you're saying the first plate is really not about food. What again, are you saying is on that very first plate when you're thinking about yourself?
It's, for me, whatever makes you happy, because the Bon Vivant Girl, it's all about happiness. And what I'm talking is like what we have in our lives, you know, our relationships, our career, our physical activity, our spirituality, everything that makes us without even touching the food.
Wow. So that's our first plate. So what makes us happy? What sort of makes us? What makes us tick? And then we start thinking about food. So I'm sure you as a world traveler, part of what makes you happy traveling around the world and being satisfied with those experiences, how do you then cross to that next plate, your second plate essentially, of what you're really navigating in the world of food?
Exactly. So the first thing is like talking about the primary food, about us, I think, in order to be a bon vivant girl or boy, we have to learn how to love and accept ourselves. And this is like when we're done with this food that we're going to eat, the secondary food, is I advise everyone to keep a food journal. And with the food journal, write everything that we eat, when we eat, how we eat. So we have an idea about our weaknesses and strengths concerning food. And why we're eating. Is it like we're eating because we're hungry or we're bored or it's an emotional, you know, we're feeding our emotions. Once that we kind of get all this, we can continue life and do everything. And regarding traveling, this is like when we're home. And if when we travel, what I do, I take some food credits, as I call it. I try to decrease the amount just before going on vacation or on a trip, on a business trip. So during the trip, I don't stress about it.
Mm-hmm. So you don't stress about it. You allow different foods to come in, but it sounds like you're traveling a lot. How much do you travel in any given month? Are you gone every week or how often are you traveling?
Now that I'm in New York, I'm traveling less. In Europe, it was much easier for me to travel. I would travel every other week. I have to go somewhere.
But not as much nowadays, correct?
I still do. I mean, like, I crossed the Atlantic several times, so that's a lot. But when I cross, and I travel in there, but when I cross, I go to my other home. So I don't know if I can call this, like, traveling, you know, going to another place. But whenever I travel here, let's say I go to an island or whatever, to the Caribbean, you know, to get some suntan,
Wonderful.
I don't, like, start, you know, I don't start, like, thinking, oh, my God, what I'm going to do? Where's the gym? Where is this? Where is that? I'm like, you know what? I have, like, these 4 days for myself. I have to enjoy it. Because, like, stressing about it, it's not going to make me eat less. I'm going to get frustrated and then eat anyway. So I'm just enjoying every minute of it.
So, okay, this is hard for, you know, all of us type A list doers, go-getters. We're going to, like, plan and carve everything out perfectly because I know a lot of us in this space are like, I'm going to land, I'm going to find the gym, I'm going to find the yoga studio, I'm going to figure out where to get my green juices, and then I'm going to deal with wherever I am. It sounds like the Bon Vivant philosophy is exactly counter to that. It's more, you know, land in a place, experience the place, experience happiness before we start engaging in the exact same activities that we may have engaged at home. My question back to you is, first of all, do I have the Bon Vivant philosophy right? And secondly,
yes.
How does that play out when it comes to your health? Does that really work? You're going to have to convince me that that works, where if I, you know, go off track X number of days a month and focus purely on happiness, am I really going to still maintain all these data points on my health that I and many of my patients are super interested in?
Well, of course it's going to work. But again, it's like, don't start doing your healthy road and lifestyle when you start traveling. You have to first, like, establish it when you're home. And the Bon Vivant your lifestyle, it's not about restriction about food, but it's about increasing and prioritizing the good food versus the bad food. So what happens is, like, for example, if I crave, let's say, a chocolate or a Snicker bar, instead of eating it right away, I advise you to eat a fruit or a dark chocolate piece. And then if you're still hungry, get the Snicker bar. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not saying go out and eat everything, you're going to lose weight. No. But it's like, first of all, you have to get on this health kick, on this happy life back home. And then even when you travel, you know, even drinking. I mean, like, I cannot tell anyone stop drinking. Of course, like, drinking a lot is bad. But in moderation, it's good. You want to drink a margarita, ask a skinny one. You know, it's like with less sugar in it. And, like, do some tricks, add more ice. So you still are part of the fun, without, you know, restricting yourself and enjoying it and not gaining weight.
Okay, so the light bulb just went off for me. So I understand what you're saying because, again, it's so counter to the way most of us, I think, unfortunately think. We think, you know, work hard, play hard, you know, you're going to work your butts off, excuse me, at home, and then you're going to play really hard when you go. And essentially what you're suggesting is first, find happiness at home. First, find balance at home. Then when you go to travel, it's not this all or nothing philosophy that of extremism, like you're going to do everything or you're not going to do this. It's sort of, you still stay in that space of being able to enjoy and able to have fun because you've built those skills already at home. Is that what you're essentially trying to?
Exactly what I'm trying to explain, because it's like everything starts home. And then once we're ready with it, anyway, like overeating, it's not going to be a pleasure anymore.
That is so true. And I think the more and more we talk to different guests on the show, you know, many people are coming to this conclusion that it's about fulfillment. It's about happiness. It's about the decisions every moment, every day. It's not necessarily about I'm going to make it to that vacation or I'm going to make it to that end of the month or I'm going to do this plan just for 30 days. It's really about taking it day by day and finding happiness and enjoying life. Are there in the Bon Vivant philosophy, are there certain foods that are good or bad, or is that thinking just kind of not even allowed?
I mean, of course, like personally, the processed food, and by processed food, I'm not thinking, talking only about like the frozen food, you know, the, as I call it, the airplane food. It's like everything which is processed, such as cereals or ketchup or sodas. These are not the good kind of foods for me, for the bon vivant your lifestyle. But again, you can buy them. Don't buy overbuy them. But instead of eating them, try to eat first fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, you know, organic products if you can. I know that sometimes the budget doesn't allow. But if it's not even organic, try to buy all the ingredients from the season. You don't want your food to travel. You're going to travel and eat the food which is there. So everything from the season, local, it's really an important point.
I love it. So again, some of the similar things that we've heard on the show before, eat fresh foods, organic foods, not processed foods. Those are essentially, you know, the good foods on the Bon Vivant plan. Are there any flat out bad foods? I guess it would be the processed foods, things with a lot of chemicals or preservatives. Are those what essentially go in the bad category, correct?
Exactly. The food that we cannot pronounce the ingredients, or like those all those magic foods that, you know, you have the food, but it's zero calories. That's like a red alert. It's impossible. It's impossible that the food doesn't have any calories. It's like, you know,
eat real food, guys.
Yes, exactly. I mean, like, it's common sense, but sometimes, like, we're so desperate to lose weight, and I've been there. I gained a lot of weight the first time I moved to the United States, and I did all the diets. I did everything. So I started believing that, you know, I can eat, I don't know, this oil or this salad dressing, which has zero calories, but it's not true. It's impossible.
Right. You know, I'm curious too, you having traveled all over the world and experienced food in different places, and then as you just mentioned, you gain weight after coming to the U.S. What do you think the fundamental difference is? I feel like in Europe, there is that sense of bon vivant, right? That sense of happiness, that sense of, you know, joy in life, you know, whereas here we may not have it as much. Is that the primary difference driving weight gain in this country, or is there something else? Is it food quality? What is your observation, having traveled so much? What do you think the fundamental differences are?
I think the first difference is the quantity. In the U.S., everything is in big. Big is better, which is not correct. In Europe, you can eat of everything. I mean, for example, in Italy, you see all these ladies, like they're like really not overweight, eating a salad, then a pasta, and then they're like fish or chicken or meat. And they're not gaining weight. Why? Because like they eat in small quantities. Here, if we order a bowl of pasta, it's like three people can eat it.
Right.
I think that's like one of the biggest mistakes of the United States. And then, again, as it's a big country, we have a lot of food that are really injected with a lot of stuff to make them grow faster. And I think all those products make us gain weight, unfortunately. It's why I always say try to buy organic, because like we know that they haven't been sprayed with pesticides, and for the fruits and let's say vegetables, but and the animals, you know, they're not fed with other dead animals to start with, and like they can be out, and you know, like it's very, very, and they eat organic food too, so it's like very important.
I think it's fascinating, you know, I mean, even my patients tell me this, you know, for example, they may test out as having a gluten issue in the U.S., but they don't have it in Italy. You know, they may have a problem with our milk here, but they don't have it in Spain. I think it's fascinating. Yeah. There really is something to food manufacturing and how our food in this country is processed in particular that contributes to weight and inflammation and many other things that we're seeing today. Now, one more question about your travels, because I'm fascinated and you're living the life that I would love to live and jump all these different countries. But I'm curious, too, just about women in different countries and what your perception is as a health coach of the health of women as you move between, you know, different areas of Europe to, and I understand you're from Lebanon to Turkey to here in the U.S. Like, kind of what have you seen as universal truths when it applies to women's health and things that may be a bit different?
Well, I mean, first of all women all around the world, they complain about their weight. That's the same everywhere.
I love it.
It's like everybody like suffers. Like, I mean, like people are, I think women, they're never happy. It's like either they think they're too fat, they're too skinny, they're too this, they're too that. It's like, that's safe.
So true.
But
so true.
Otherwise, I think in Europe, I mean, like in this, in US, I remember the first time that I came, when I was walking down the street, especially in New York, I was being yelled at by other walkers because I wasn't walking fast enough.
Oh,
and then,
gosh,
like, when I was, like, working, if I would take an hour lunch break, they would tell me, why, you think you're on vacation? It's, like, it's such a fast-paced world, the U.S. It's so competitive that, unfortunately, okay, it's great because we're ambitious. Everybody is ambitious. But nobody really takes time to enjoy life. Whereas in Europe, I mean, like, in Turkey, I remember when I was a kid, my father would work like crazy, but every noon he would come home and take his nap. It was,
oh,
like,
wow,
part of the life. You know what I mean? That's, like, little differences that makes a lot. Because, like, people take time to take care of themselves and to be happy.
And by not allowing that in our schedules and in our life, we're creating sort of the situation of constant dieting or constantly not feeling good about ourselves. I'm curious, are there any other pieces to the bon vivant lifestyle or being a bon vivant girl that expand beyond food itself? I know it's about happiness. I know it's about kind of finding what brings you joy. Are there other things or other tips you would like to offer our listeners that are essential to this particular philosophy?
Well, yes. The first one is, I think this is very important. I know that we all pass by that. We all gain weight at some point in our life. And then when we start gaining weight, we start like panicking and trying everything. And I think like the listeners should understand something. There is no diet fits all. It's called bioindividuality. We're all unique people. We're all different in anatomy, molecules, body composition, cell structure.
Thank you.
And also, I mean, we have different lifestyles. You know, some people have very physical work. Some others, like, work behind a desk all day. So,
so true.
I think everybody has to stop listening to TV ads, magazines, you know, whatever they see. Some people, I'm sure, they lose weight with, let's say, low-carb diet. But the diet of someone could be my poison. It's why I really emphasize online on everyone to write, to take the food journal and to become our own nutritionist.
So I think that's a wonderful tip for our listeners, and I hope everybody caught that. I'm just going to repeat it, but bottom line, I say this all the time in practice. I think I've said it on the show. You know, we are all our own unique fingerprint. We all have our own unique chemistry. One person's food will be another person's poison. And it's really our responsibility to try to navigate and figure that space out. And I know how frustrating it is and how hard it is, but I think this is a great tool that Natalie is giving us, is just simply keep a food journal. And by keeping a food journal, and this is something, again, we'd have patients do in practice, by keeping a food journal, you know, you can also document like how you're feeling that day. Was this a happy day? Was this a sad day? Did you feel bloated? Did you feel amazing? Kind of where were you? And then you can start to kind of draw conclusions on your own before test and before somebody else intervenes as to what really may be the right path for you. Any other tips you have for our readers, Natalie?
And then again, the other point is like when we gain weight, we feel desperate. And I think we have to go through the 5 stages of loss of Kübler-Ross to accept our new state to be able to move on. So, I mean, these stages, they're denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. The first 4 ones, they can come in different orders until we reach the acceptance. And I know that it sounds funny, but really we have to accept who we are today to be able to move forward and to be able to lose that weight.
I think that is so important, and you know, many of us struggle with that. So acceptance is probably the number one success tool in terms of losing weight, because when we accept it, then we can probably create the space and the time and the energy to really do something, change something, find our way forward, because we're not sort of fighting against ourselves in the process. Natalie, your book, If You Are What You Eat and Should I Eat a Skinny Girl? Tell us just a little bit about your book.
Well, in my book, you have all the tips and tricks, the roadmap to become a bon vivant girl. it's really based on me, on my life and how I suffered when I gained weight. And it shows you step by step how to prepare yourself to be happy, how to clean your house, your friends, your fridge, your closet, how to buy new stuff, you know, how to go to grocery shopping, for example, and then how to eat in, how to eat out, and life tips. It's really a book full of motivation. If I did it, you can do it. And it has a lot of humor, too. So, you know, I don't think that diet should be something boring and losing weight should be something sad and boring. It should be fun. So I really try to put some humor in it, and I'm sure that the readers will see themselves in it in several chapters.
I think this is such a great lesson for all of us. I'm hearing Natalie tell us to live the bon vivant philosophy and to find happiness, to pursue happiness, and then to match the rest of our choices to that happiness. Natalie, if my listeners want to find you and learn more about your book or what you're doing, where can they get some more information about you?
I have my website, thebonvivantgirl.com. And also the book is on Amazon, on Kindle and paperback version. And I'm also in all social media, so they can find me everywhere. And I'm sure you're going to share a link, right?
Yes, we will share the link. And I hope everyone listens and adopts even a little bit of the Bon Vivant philosophy. I know that I am inspired and motivated, and a great reminder even for me that this is just the beginning. We have to try to find our own happiness to really let everything else fall into place. Thank you so much, Natalie, for taking the time to join me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.